Man, praise God, right? This is awesome. Well, welcome, welcome, welcome to our Victory Sunday. This is just one time that we do this out of the year where we look back and we just say, God, thank you for using us in a powerful way. And we recognize that this is a kind of an anomaly, right? Not every church gets to experience what we get to experience kind of like on a weekly basis. I remember 20 years ago as a senior pastor at Bethany, we had about 100 people that were a part of the congregation at that time. And we had about maybe one or two baptisms a year. And it would like catch us off guard, you know? So the baptistry wasn't ready, nothing was ready for it. And I'd preach a message and be like, oh, you're responding. Okay, I don't know what to do. And so to have this every single week, 3, 4, 5 baptisms a week, people giving their life over to Christ and having their life radically changed because of who Christ is absolutely monumental, life-changing. And I can't believe that we all get to be a very small piece of God's redemptive plan for humanity. Isn't it fun to be a part of? I love it. Yeah. I want to welcome you at Vincennes and Princeton and online. And you know, you may not know yet, but this congregation is one congregation, meaning at multiple locations. And so we have campuses in Vincennes and Princeton. And man, it's just going to become a hallmark of what we do in ministries. We recognize the needs and opportunities that exist in communities around our region and how we can come in and kind of backfill some of these churches that either have crumbled and fallen apart and left people of faith behind and people who are looking for a place to call their own and maybe even be a hope and a beacon of light into some communities that have some spiritual darkness in them. And I'm just so thankful how God has been using us. It's crazy, right? How God can use a test and turn it into testimony. How he can use our misery, turn it into ministry. How he can use our tragedies, turn them into triumphs. It's absolutely amazing the way our God works. And I think all of us need to realize that we didn't do this. We're not doing this. We're just a small part of what God is doing, and we should just be in awe that he is actually using us in this way, in this place, at this time, right now, and just give God glory and thanks and celebrate what he's doing through all of us. Because honestly, I don't deserve it, and you don't deserve it. We are just happy to be servants of our Lord Most High. And every single week, guys, we get to see it from our vantage point as ministers. Marriages that are being rekindled and healed and restored. We see families that have been broken and shattered because of sin or addiction finally coming back together again. We find men and women who are not crawling out of addiction, but finding new hope and a new identity in Jesus Christ, recognizing that their addiction is not their identity any longer, but Christ is their identity and they have some struggles in life, but God will get them through those struggles. We're seeing people overcome all kinds of barriers in life. We're seeing people that are finding freedom in their finances finally because they're doing it God's way rather than the way the world has taught them to do it. We're finding people that are receiving children back home again, that have been wayward from the faith and are welcoming back, never thinking that they would embrace their children and be sitting with them in rows at church and celebrating the victories that Christ has put in their life. We're seeing that every single week. And I'm just here to tell you that this is not normal. That is not normal behavior in most places around the nation when they call it church. We are not worried about what we're gonna do next Sunday. We know we're having church next Sunday. We're not worried about shutting our doors next Sunday. And I know all of you have not been a part of a place like that. You've come from a place where you're kind of wringing your hands like, what are we going to do? Is the money going to hold out? Are people going to show up? That has never been the problem of this congregation. We've always been able to find God's blessing. And God, for whatever reason, and I don't know, there's not a secret potion. There's not. If there was, I'd ruin it, man. If there was a bottle that we could put it in, we'd ruin it. If there was a formula, we'd ruin it. God has decided, for whatever reason, to use this congregation, to use you and to use me. And friends, we don't deserve it. And I don't want for a moment that to go to your head. I don't want to walk out here and go, look what we've done. We haven't done squat. It's what God has done through us. God can only create the life change. There was this moment in the Apostle Paul's life where the Christians wanted to celebrate Paul. They really wanted to overly celebrate him. And Paul's like, hold on a minute. I don't think you understand who's doing all the life transformation stuff here. And so the Apostle Paul says it like this in 1 Corinthians. Here's what he says. I planted the seed in your hearts. The seed is the gospel, by the way. So he's saying someone preached, someone taught, someone told their story of faith, and it planted the seed in someone's heart. And Apollos watered it, which means someone came in and continued to keep that seed alive, like the gospel of faith in someone's life. But who was it that made it grow? God made it grow. And just like the farmer understands that you can plant the seed, but you can't predict the weather. You can plant the seed, but you can't make it germinate. You can plant the seed, but that doesn't mean you're gonna have a harvest. Why? Because God makes it grow. And every single one of us in this room, we need to recognize those who are hearing me and watching online, you need to focus in that God is the one that makes miracle happen. That God is the one that makes transformation possible, and it's not us. We have a responsibility to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, to make disciples of all generations, but it is God ultimately who grows the faith in every person's heart. And maybe you're here today, and this is all new to you. The celebration stuff's all new, and maybe this is all new to you about the gospel and Christ Jesus working within us and through us, and you're gonna hear some things today that you know may not make sense to you. Like opening up another campus in Princeton, Indiana. Like you go, what? You guys are expanding? What are you guys doing, franchising? I don't understand. Was this like Chick-fil-A now? Like we're just having multiple campuses? Yeah, kinda. Like we know it's working. We know the message is being communicated. We know the ministries are happening properly. We know that there's people like you that are willing to set aside some of your own time and your own talents and your own treasure and to go make some headway in a place that maybe was off the reservation to you just a year ago, but now it's come to full light that they need Jesus too. And a part of our vision and part of our strategy as a church is to exalt Jesus Christ so that everybody will be saved. Everybody, even people in Pike County. Even people in Gibson County, even people in Knox County, even people in Davies County. It just continues on around the world so that all will be saved. And so we recognize that as there's opportunity and as there's need, God's gonna continue to use. And I want a big shout out to all those that have decided to be a part of our launch team or plant team or prayer team at our Princeton campus. You know, as we opened that up in October and it still meets in the Showplace Cinema, they have two services. It's growing, but it is that group of people who recognized that in the infancy of a congregation, they need to have the strength that is needed spiritually. And so we had people run down there and still do. Many people run down there and serve and give of their time and are making sure that that congregation down there in Princeton is seeing health and vitality. And there are so many great things that are in store. And I'm telling you this, because of what you've all done and because of what those are doing down in Princeton, there will be people that will arrive in heaven that will tell you thank you. Thank you for coming to Gibson County. Thank you for coming to Princeton. I needed this place. I needed this kind of place. I needed that gospel. I needed Jesus Christ. Thank you. Thank you. Man, sometimes we just forget how important it is to continue on with the mission of Jesus Christ in our life and to continue and to move it faster, forward, further. And that's just a part of what God has called us to do. Just to kind of walk with some of the things that God's done over this last year. Let's just kind of celebrate some things. Through our spare change, guys, this boggles my mind. Through our spare change, we have a function on our giving app called Roundup. Through our Roundup app, which just means it, you know, takes the change and rounds it up to the nearest dollar of whatever you just purchased. And from some of you just saying, hey, I'm gonna give an extra dollar every time I'm here on Sunday morning. We've been able to bless people in our communities by more than $50,000. That's about 12 families that just received money, not asking for it. We just saw their plight, we saw their problem, we saw their hurt, and we wanted to be some kind of healing and help. And oftentimes, you know, you don't know how to do that. And sometimes it's just financial backing that just says, we're for you, we're with you. And there was no kind of real qualification that was needed to receive the money. Didn't matter if you were a believer or a non-believer. Didn't matter where you were at in life. It was just, we saw the need and we knew Jesus would want to help you the best we can. And we want to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And thousands of dollars went to families every single month just to say, we're for you. We're with you. This congregation wants to be a blessing to you. And we want you to know that there's more here than just finances. There's spiritual things as well that are welcome for you. There's more riches in store for you, spiritual riches as well that this congregation offers. But guys, that just happened through our spare change. Just our spare change. Just money that was left over in our pockets collectively, over $50,000. And we're not trying to be the best church in town. We're trying to be the best church for our town. And that's why we do stuff like that. And you may not have put it together, but that doesn't go with our benevolent stuff. Every single day, people walk into our campuses looking in for emergency help, rent or grocery money or just some gas. And every single time those folks walk in, our ministers are quick to say, this congregation has been generous enough to give of themselves so that you can receive a blessing in your life. And that does not even include the benevolence help that goes out. Friends, I know that you're not a rich church. We're not a rich church, but you are a generous church. And I would rather be part of a generous church than I would a rich church. And I am so blessed to be leading a group of people that understand that generosity is at the very heartbeat of our God. For God so loved the world that he gave. And in your giving, you're making great blessings into people's lives, people that you may never meet, but one day in heaven where they get to pat you on the back and say thank you. This is a very special place. Hey, remember this last summer we did Serve, Give, Go. And as we went out and we left this place, you didn't know what to expect. You just knew that you're going to have some kind of challenge in front of you. And we had one moment where we said, hey, we're going to leave this place. We're asking you to Walmart and just raid the shelves so that we can store up goods for Camp Ileana at Washington and in Vincennes, the Isaiah House. And you guys did. You blessed them with so much resource that they had an annual supply of cleaning solutions and everything they needed to clean the entire camp at Camp Ileana. That's 200 plus kids a week. And you guys gave them enough cleaning supplies to do the whole camp for an annual supply, Isaiah House, and a food and clothing for every foster child that they welcome in so that those kids can have clean items, new items, and feel like they're at home even though they're not. Guys, God has used you to overwhelmingly bless some people. You may remember that when we had got together, we said, hey, we're going to leave this service and we're going to serve and we're going to use our hands and our feet and what God has blessed us with physically to do something for God. And in our student ministry room, there are meals ready to be packed. Remember this? So you donned a hairnet and you donned those great looking gloves and you put together ready to eat meals for folks that you'll never meet. And those meals went out. Tens of thousands of meals that you all packed together. I hope no one's hair got in any of those meals. But you know, they were nutritious and ready to eat for anybody that was in a country that was experiencing some kind of disaster and had no food to eat. They were able to boil those meals that you helped prepare and put together, and they were able to have their bellies full for the day because of what you decided to do in about 15 minutes on a Sunday morning. You know what I also love? I love the fact that Sunday I show up and I say, guys, listen, there's a ministry partner that we have in India. They're near and dear to our heart. We love them very much. Their ministry is awesome. They move the gospel further and faster than we ever could. And we want to give them and bless them with $50,000 today. And I just kind of threw that out there and said, above our normal offering, we just want to do $50,000. Guys, I was shocked, and don't act like you weren't either, when the next Sunday we got to announce that we were able to give close to $200,000 in just a moment's notice to our ministry partners in India. Man, it is overwhelming to be in a position of leadership and to see people go far beyond four times as much what you're even asking for, recognizing that you understand that your giving makes an impact on people's lives and that dollars can easily equate into souls because you recognize that dollars in the right hand, in the hands of people that have a righteous mind and righteous actions with a righteous ministry, converts people to Jesus Christ. The seed was planted, Apollos watered it, and God made it grow. And I'm thankful that you guys, and I'm thankful that I'm a part of a place that just allows all that to happen. Friends, there is so much to celebrate. There is so much that God is doing in us and through us. And I can talk about the disciple-making efforts that we have, the rooted stuff, the small group stuff. Hey, let's just do this. Help me out here and let's just give a visual to what God is doing through all of you. If you were a part of Discover Bethany or small group or rooted this last year, and I don't want an applause, I just want a visual. Would you just stand up? If you are part of one of those three, small group, our rooted experiences, or our Discover Bethany, stand up. Thank you, guys. So you can see right here the folks, you can go ahead and be seated. These are folks that just decided to say, I recognize that Bethany has a pathway in place to grow me spiritually. And you decided, I'm gonna risk some things, I'm gonna risk some time, I'm gonna risk some of my busy schedule, and I'm gonna get involved in that, and I'm gonna make this more of a priority this year than I did last year. And folks, I know there's some of you who are sitting there and you're wondering, well, what are these things? These are ways, Discover Bethany, rooted in small groups, to grow and mature in your faith. And I want everybody to take into this. Next year, I want everybody to stand and say, yeah, we decided that we're going to take a step of faith this year. This year, we're going to get connected to this congregation in a greater way. This year, we're going to celebrate a victory that God has brought us through as we figured out how to create some rhythms in my spiritual life that I can be devoted to, that will help me out. Even when I don't feel it, I can still know it, that God is for me and with me. Guys, I want that to be a part of your spiritual victory, where you can stand up and say, God's brought me to a place. I've gone from A to B, and God's continuing to take me. There's so much more I can tell you. I mean, from the square footage that was added onto, 5,000 square feet of ministry space to Vincennes, student ministry needs that were there, had us developing part of that campus. It was just 2 years old. And adding more square footage to it. 10 new ministers brought on staff. Why? Because this place keeps growing. as this place keeps growing, the ministry staff has to grow with it, and ministry has to advance with it. And 10 new ministers have been brought on to help be a part of this congregation's growth and to minister to our community and to make sure that the gospel of Jesus Christ and that seed is being planted in the hearts of men and being watered so that God can grow it. And I'm telling you, man, that there's some challenges for us. There's some challenges for us as we move forward as a church. With growth comes challenges. And some of those challenges, you might say, are easy. Some of these challenges are unique to who we are, but there's challenges. And one of the challenges I want to bring to you is the challenge to continue to invite people to a place that you know provides healing and hope, who provides the gospel of Jesus Christ. And one of the challenges we're going to present is not that you just bring a coworker or bring a friend, but that we want you to start thinking strategically about family members that are outside of faith. And I know as I say that, that really doesn't sit well with you, because every single meeting I've had about this, where I've said, guys, here's our initiative for the next 24 months is to bring an invite culture and an awareness to the people in our families that are outside of faith. Every single staff person I brought that up to has said, oh no, that means that my father-in-law, I'm gonna have to have a talk with. That means I'm a mother-in-law, I'm gonna have to have a talk. That means my cousin, my brother, my sister, my aunt, or a spouse, I'm gonna have to have a talk with, because they're not where they need to be in their faith. And for whatever reason, and I don't know why this is, it is so difficult at times, isn't it, to talk to our family members about faith. It's easier to talk up to our friends or our coworkers or even our strangers that we just kind of run into. But when it comes to people that we're connected to through bonds of blood or babies, it's so tough to talk to them about faith. But yet that's how the gospel of Jesus Christ really grew in the book of Acts. It grew because people of faith went back to their families and said, can I tell you what God has done and what he is doing through me? And they begin to share their story, and it would take root into people's lives. And even the most hardened heart would become softened to the gospel, and those family members would turn and receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. And listen, I know that it's a difficult subject for some of you, because you're thinking of some folks in your life that have wounded you and hurt you, because there are a few people in life that can hurt you and wound you like family can wound you. And you're thinking, God's calling me to those folks? You better believe it. And God's calling you to them because he understands that there is a kinship that you hold, that there's some kind of bond that can be connected when there's family that's involved, when there's blood and there's the tie of babies. God uses that. God uses that in some way so that you can share your faith with these folks that you're close to, but maybe at the same time, so far away from. And that's gonna be one of the challenges this year, is to reach out to those family members who are without faith. And I know it's gonna be some skirmish moments. There's gonna be some challenge for us as we grow together at Washington. There's gonna be parking lot challenges. There's gonna be service time challenges. There's gonna be, how do we make room for more challenges? There's gonna be, how do we find more seats in this space challenges. There's gonna be all kinds of challenges that we're gonna be walking through, but they're good challenges to have, don't you think? Growth challenges are good challenges to have. And the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8 that we should be looking back at our life, and we should be able to see the great things that God has done. We should have some moments in our 2021 where we look back and say, God's good, and only God could have brought me out of this. In Romans chapter 8, verse 37, here's what the Apostle Paul says we should be experiencing as believers in Christ Jesus. He says, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Will you just read that out loud with me together? We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And you might want to understand what more than conquerors really means. It doesn't mean that we just have victory. It doesn't mean that we have beat somebody and they've been defeated. It means that there's been a lopsided victory. It means that there has been some kind of landslide victory. It means that everyone knows that it couldn't have been a victory of your own. Only God could have brought that victory. It's been such a lopsided victory that everyone goes, that is the demolishing. That has destroyed everything. You kind of see this in sports sometimes. I mean, here's the idea of an overwhelming victory from the NBA. Like, I think it was 1998. The Pacers beat the Trailblazers, 124-59. The largest margin of victory in NBA modern history. Or in baseball, when it came to the Rangers and the Orioles, 30-3, right? If you're a Rangers fan, that's a good day. If you're an Orioles fan, that's awful. How about this one? This is the best. 1927, Haven High School destroyed Silva High School. Football, that's football numbers. Can you imagine? Anybody play football and you're like, we have 12-minute quarters. How does that even, you're trying to figure, I just tried to figure that out when I saw that. I'm like, how do you do that? Do you get every onside kick and run it back for a, I don't know how you get that high in football, but those kids were murderers in their day. That's an overwhelming victory. And there should be some points in 2021, you look back and say, that's an overwhelming victory. Like, this is what God did in my life, overwhelmingly. I don't know, maybe in your marriage or your health, could be your attitude changed, your God's worked in your personality, and you see that now being more like Christ and less like it used to be. Maybe it's a passion change in your life or a desire change in your life. Maybe it's a sin that you've broken away from and you say, you know what? That doesn't have a stronghold on me anymore. It could be the victory that you're seeing is like, I'm showing up for church now more than I ever have before. The victory for you could be like, you know, I got baptized this last year and I gave my life over to Christ. It could be I went to Rooted and I get to celebrate that I was really strategic about finding a place to actually grow in and get to know God. I don't know what your victories are. It looks different for all of us, but every single time a believer should look back, they should be able to find some peak, some point to say, God did that. Overwhelmingly, I'm more than a conqueror, and God did that. Friends, I want to introduce you to Tony Stonerock. He's someone who goes to our Vincennes campus, and Tony was one of these guys that just said, listen, I don't know what God's going to do, and I don't really have much thought about God. And then one day, God just grabbed his heart, and he gets to look back and say, okay, God did this in my life because it wasn't anything that I would have done for myself. Take a watch.
My name's Tony Stonerock, and I worship at the Vincennes campus. We did start at the Washington campus where my daughter asked us to come over. I was kind of her one, and so we attended over there a couple times, and then the Vincennes campus opened, and we've been coming here ever since. I spent my whole life basically looking for happiness in all the wrong places, you know, looking for happiness in money, in jobs. At one point, it's like something just clicked, and it's like, you know, you've been looking for all this stuff in the wrong places. You know, maybe you just need to look for happiness in God and in what He can do for you in your life. And so we had the opportunity to get involved in the Rooted program, and it's honestly the best thing that's ever happened to me in my walk with God. So that was a big determining factor for me to be obedient to God and to decide to get baptized. If you're just kind of going through the motions and just going off the belief, there's so much you're missing. You know, I know it's easy to do because I did it for so many years, but the satisfaction that you get from it, the joy you get from it, it's just beyond anything I've ever experienced before.
And that's Tony's story. As he looks back, he says, this is what God did in my life, and I would never expected it, and I've never had the hope that I have today. Unless I turn it all over to the Lord. And I don't know where you're at in your life, but I just want to take the next few moments to encourage you to take a step of faith. That if you're looking back in 2021 and you're saying, I don't know, I can't find that peak. I can't find that point where I can look back and say, God, only God could have done that. I want you to have that in 2022. Let me just kind of give you a gauge and you can rank where you're at yourself in your spiritual life. How would you classify your spiritual life right now? Would you classify it as non-existent? Just doesn't exist at all. Would you say it's stagnant? It's just, it was there, but it's not there any longer. Would you call it mediocre? Like you compare it to other people, and as you compare it to other people, you find out you're about the same. Or would you say it's growing? Non-existent, stagnant, mediocre, or there's growth and gain. Because God has a desire that you become a difference maker and a disciple maker and a follower after Him. And that all involves advancement and growth. But here's what I'm aware of. Just like me, you have complexities in your life. You have what we would call around here hurts, habits, and hangups that hold you back from taking steps of faith. The Bible says this in Psalm 139. God, thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. Some of you are like, God made me too complex. Like I can't even figure myself out. And there's times when I feel that way that I'm wondering why I don't grow further, faster in the faith. Maybe you feel that way. Like why don't I take steps of faith when I know God has that laid out for me? Why don't I just fall in line with what God's desires are for my life and say, God, not my will, but yours be done. When I know that His plan is more perfect and planned out and better than anything I could hope for myself. I don't understand what holds me back sometimes. You know, the Bible says that when we were created, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, it says that we are created in the image of God. Did you know that you're created in the image of God? And that image of God, the Latin term is imago Dei. And if you get to the heart of that, what it means is that you're kind of a chip off the old block. That God has created you and wired you up. And I think one of the ways in which we're an image of God is, if God is part of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, there's a Trinity to man. That you are body, and you are soul, and you are spirit also. And I want you to contemplate this for a minute. That spirit that God has resided within you is a spirit which actually has to be exchanged. And that's what happens in baptism. That we lay aside our spirit and we rise new with the Spirit of God that He's planted within us. You see, if the Spirit of God is not within us, it has no reconciliation, it has no connection to who God's Spirit is, God the Father. But that soul that we have, which is a part of our Trinity of man, is our personality, it what animates us. The Bible would often say that their soul departed, meaning their animation left, but their body stayed. That third part of the triune man is body. So you're catching this, it's spirit, it's soul, and its body. The body contains all that. We'll be given up this body. And the Bible says that we can anticipate a new body in heaven, which is pretty awesome. But that spirit and that soul, they remain. And friends, those are spiritual matters, not physical matters. And what God is really suggesting is it's time to get serious about your spiritual life, because that's what continues on. Not the physical, not the financial, not the schedule, but the spiritual. And there's some things in your life that I know are really complex, because you're a complex person. And I know there's some things that you can celebrate, that there's also some things that you've held back on and you said, well, I'm so complex that I have these kind of problems in my life. Listen, we're all playing with the hand we've been dealt. I'm playing with the hand I've been dealt. I don't always like the hand I've been dealt, but I'm trying to do the best I can with the hand I've been dealt. Do I need help with the hand I've been dealt? You better believe it. That's why I've welcomed Christ Jesus into my life. He has the ability to change the hand. But I've learned to live with the hand I've been dealt. Hey, listen, I'd love to be able to play the guitar like my buddy Jeff Smith over here. But I play with the hand that I've been dealt. I would love to be able to have the organizational prowess and understanding of money and the market like Warren Buffett. But I play with the hand I've been dealt. I would love to be able to preach like Andy Stanley or Chuck Swindoll. But unfortunately for you, I preach with the hand I've been dealt. Listen, I know you could sit there and say, if only I had, I could. But that's not the way life works. And I'm just wondering right now, how many of you are sitting here saying, I would like to grow, but. And then you add the word can't. And that doesn't fit God's vocabulary at all. Can't? Can't? What are you talking about? If you have God's Spirit in your life, which marks us and strengthens us even in our weakness, we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. So really what I'm getting at is, if you're a believer in this room and you're not finding peaks of victory, points of victory, why not? My thesis would be, it's because you have held yourself back from it. Nothing else. Nothing else has. Just you. Whatever it is. I don't know what, maybe a change to the past, some kind of regret, something where you feel maybe vulnerable or guilty, or you don't feel worthy of God's presence. But whatever it is, you've just got to say, I'm stepping out in faith this year. I'm going to let God use me in my weakness. There was a moment when the Apostle Paul says, listen, God, I can't. You got to take this from me, then I can, and then I can move forward and I can do some great things for you. And Paul says, would you remove this thorn in my flesh? Do you remember that statement where he's like, I can't do this, but I could if you take this bad thing from me. And you know what God says? Nah, that's not happening. As a matter of fact, in 2 Corinthians, he says these words, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Paul, I know you say you can't, but I can let you hold on to that thing that you're saying is holding you back from me, and I can use that. I can use that for some kind of glory and some kind of power. And your weakness, I can do something through. And that was God's way of telling a guy who said, I can't move forward in my faith, and God saying, I can, you can. You can with my strength. Listen, I know you probably can't move forward in your faith on your own power, but God's power is at work within you. And so let me just kind of go back to this again. Where would you classify your faith? Where would you put your spiritual walk right now? Non-existing, stagnant, mediocre, or growing? You know, I was introduced to a term that was called professional victim. That's men and women that just decide that the world is holding them back from living to the place where they think they ought to be living. Maybe it's a financial level. Maybe it's an educational level. Maybe it's a job that they believe they should have had, or a neighborhood they should be living in, or a house they should be living in, or a car they should be driving. But whatever it is, now they've turned it into a professional victim where they say, it's not my fault. It's the fault of some other circumstance in life. You know, there may be some truth to that within the way the world operates, but there is no truth to that in the way in which God operates in our spiritual life. There is nothing holding you back from God today. There is nothing holding you back from growing in the Lord today. There's nothing holding you back from getting connected to his bride today, except for you. And I would say when it comes to your personal faith, there are no professional victims. As a matter of fact, there are no victims at all. So if you find yourself today answering that question, say, my faith is non-existent, or my faith is stagnant, or my faith is mediocre, my question to you as a pastor would be, what are you going to do about it? What steps would you make today of faith to say, God, I am weak, but I recognize in my weakness, you can make me strong. Today, I'll get involved and rooted. Today, I'll get connected with a small group. Today, I'll find myself, whatever it is, that I'm going to make some movements of faith towards God. Why? Because Romans chapter 8, verse 37 says simply, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. There's a story in the book of Ezekiel. As a matter of fact, the whole book of Ezekiel is about the Israelites, God's people, who have been captured and forced to live in Babylon, where Iraq is today, and removed from where they were living in Jerusalem. And so they had to leave their homes. They were basically enslaved, and they left their place where they were worshiping the temple of God in Jerusalem. And when all that took place, they forgot about their faith and they forgot about their God. And they had excuses. They had excuses for Ezekiel when Ezekiel called them out. They said, well, the temple's not close. It's hard to worship God when the temple's not close. And then they'd say, well, we're living now under Babylonian captivity. And, you know, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. And they started to worship the false gods of the Babylonians. And Ezekiel looked at them and he chastised them. And he said, there is no reason why you should not be worshiping the Lord your God right now. There's no reason why you should not be growing in your faith right now. And then God had this great message for Ezekiel. He said the key point verse in all of Ezekiel is found in Ezekiel chapter 37, I believe. Here's what it says. It says, chapter 36, for I will take you out of the nations. I will gather you from all the countries and I will bring you back into your land and I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. And I will cleanse you from all the impurities of all your idols, and I'll give you a new heart. You know what God just said? All that past stuff that you did, I'll make it right. And then he goes on to say, I'll give you a new heart, and I'll give you a new spirit in you. I'll remove from your heart a heart of stone, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. You know, I think the thing that holds us back from loving God in a greater way and loving others is our hard-heartedness. Sometimes our apathy towards faith, our apathy towards God, which creates that hard heart. How about welcome God into your life and embrace him and say, God, would you just wreck this heart? Give me new passion, new desires. Give me a thirst for you of growth. Father, plant within me a desire to follow you in a greater way this year than any year before so that I can look back and find points and peaks where I can say only God could have done that in my life.